Matt Cassian joins us now. And Matt, you know, I haven't had a chance to even talk to you. We're both kind of running around with our kids and lives. Just your quick kind of, not a quick, but your evaluation of what the Oilers did adding Hyman and Fogle up front to their to increase their wing depth.
Well, Jason Studwich, that's a great question. I'm happy we're going to get to talk about it. You know what? I think if anything, I'm going to be happy with this because people can stop complaining about their third line and their depth to where people complain about that all the time. And I mean, it's had its issues, but I think, you know, Fogle in particular, bringing him in, I think just really shores up what's going on there on the depth side. And my thought has always been that your top two lines are going to produce so much or have the capacity to produce so much. You really just need that third line and the fourth line to not bleed goals. And they ran into some problems with that last year. And I think the Fogle signing or the trade in particular really helps them or should help them do that. And I think makes them a little bit better up front.
With Dylan Holloway coming and you know, at some point, do you think that it makes sense at any point when Holloway does arrive to push Nuge to the third line center?
It depends on how good Holloway is. Like, does he come in and does he have the capacity to play, 20 minutes a night? Like, can he do that? Is he going to be able to give you really good 5-on-5 minutes? And if the answer is yes, then maybe you do have the ability to move Nuge down there. But even then, it's going to be a little bit of a balance because you don't want, you know, to not have Nuge playing and you're going to be managing, you know, him and his personality as well. Now, granted, he's a great team guy and good in the room, so it's not like he'd be, you know, Mr. Poopy Pants on the third line, but you still do have to consider that and to consider how much time he's going to be playing or you need him on the ice. Now, maybe that becomes a little bit more of a situational thing depending on who you're playing and the score in a game, and are you trying to shut a line down or are you just trying to generate a ton of offense? So there's could be a couple different scenarios, but really it's not a bad problem to have. Like, if Holloway can come in and he can just force them to have to consider even doing that, then I think, you know, you're happy if you're Ken Holland and the Edmonton Oilers.
What about as far as the addition of Duncan Keith, you know, both on the and off the ice, what do you think Ken Holland is looking for from him?
Well, I think the exact same thing both on and off the ice, which is steadiness. Steadiness. You need him to be steady on the ice, and you need him to be steady in the dressing room. Now, you know you're going to get steady Duncan Keith in the dressing room. Like, he's going to be great with that, good with the young guys, good with the old guys, you know, great leader, experienced veteran, you know, ticks all the boxes there. Now, on the ice, certainly there's some people that have a few more questions, but I think in the capacity that, as of right now, as long as Darnell Nurse stays healthy, you're asking him to play, I think you're setting him up for a decent amount of success here. And for the Oilers, you need him to get the puck to the forwards. Like, if he can consistently do that, get Connor the puck, get Leon the puck, get it to them early, and let them carry the puck out of the zone, you're in good shape. Like, that's all you have to do. And it's obviously a lot easier said than done, but if Duncan Keith can do that and do it regularly, you know, he's gonna do well for this group. And, you know, some of the criticisms for Adam Larson, maybe, and at times I think correctly so, that he did at times struggle to get the puck to the forwards. He was consistent defensively, good at taking the puck away, but sometimes struggled moving the puck. And, you know, Duncan Keith, it could be maybe a little bit of the opposite, where he struggles to take the puck away, but gets the puck to the forwards quickly, and that in turn generates more offense for Edmonton.
Taking a look at the world of the NHL with Matt Cassian, a former NHLer, here on the Jason Gregg Show. I'm Jason Strudwick. He's Connor Halley on TSN 1260. When you look at the Oilers as a whole, you know, they're going to be able to produce goals, obviously, the two guys down the middle, then, you know, some added depth that you talked about on the wings. But, you know, the defending, they still have to be able to defend. Do the guys they've added, is there any hope that they'll be able to help this team continue to defend, you know, harder, make it harder for other teams to get those easy chances?
I hope so. That's the big question, isn't it? Is are they going to be able to do that? You know, Ken Holland certainly thinks so. You know, Cody Ceci is going to come in here and he's going to help out on the back end, you hope, and shore up that side. Especially with the departure of Ethan Bear too, you know, you needed to bring someone else in. Bouchard, you know, don't know how ready he is exactly. You hope that he's ready to take that next step. But as a whole, I kind of look at it and I go, you know what? It's it's almost even, I would think. Like, just heading into it, that's my observation, would say, okay, I almost feel like it's even. They kind of move some things around, and you know, so much of how they do this year, I think, is going to be dependent on goaltending being really good again. Like, if they can keep the puck out of their net, a lot of that's going to be goaltending, not just the defense, not just the forwards, but that goaltending component that's going to be so huge. And that's thus far the one area they have yet to address. So I'm kind of at like a wash level where I don't think it got worse, but I don't think it got that much better. It's just stylistically a little bit different in that there's maybe more of a focus on moving the puck versus trying to take the puck away for the Edmonton Oilers.
Goaltending didn't change. How do you kind of evaluate what was not done there?
Well, I mean, Strudy, when something happens like this, when we all know that there's an issue there and we all know that they're trying to address it, I have to think that they were in on some of the trades and they got beat out with an offer. I have to think that, and I have to believe that there was more going on behind the scenes. You know, I don't know if you had heard, but I'd heard some rumors that they were in on Kemper pretty strongly, but the ask just ended up being a little bit too much for them. They had been in with some offers for some other players, and you know, you can do a lot, but you still have to say, okay, well, what's our line in terms of cost and price and what we have the capacity to do and to give up? And if everything that everyone is asking for, you know, is more than that, I mean, what are you going to do? Especially if you're in on a guy like Kemper and you're, you know, one of the last couple guys and you think you're going to be in that conversation, and then all of a sudden they pull the plug or go a different direction. Like, if that was what you were banking on, it kind of leaves you up the creek a little bit, and there's not much you can do about that. So I just think there has to be something behind the scenes that we didn't fully see.
You know, when you look at the team and the additions that are made and moving forward, can they, you know, what's the next step for you, Matt Cassidy, and the Oilers have to do? Is it regular season? Is it postseason? Is it individuals? Like, what are you looking for these guys to accomplish?
Well, we have to see playoff success. We've seen regular season success. We've seen a team that can make the playoffs. We need to see them win in the playoffs and to be a threat in the playoffs. And, you know, looking at it, Strudy, you know, this year, next year, and maybe the year after too, probably the next 3 years, this is their window. Like, they need to make that next step, and they need to do it now. They need to do it as a group, and you need to have playoff success. And that means a deep playoff run here. Now, sometimes you never know who you end up against in the playoffs, and you run up against to a good team that plays really well and they beat you. But at the same time, I think for myself and for most people here in Edmonton, that patience is gone for that. And rightfully so, is you have to expect, when you have Connor McDavid, when you have Leon Draisaitl, you need to win. You've added some pretty good pieces up front. You know, you move some pieces around in the defense. You have to come out of this with a couple rounds in the playoffs here. Like, you have to. Otherwise, I think everyone's just going to lose their collective minds. I mean, they already are losing their collective minds, Strudy.
Yeah, they are pretty passionate about it. There's always a lot of passion. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever had this situation when you were a player, but the situations of Jack Eichel and Vadi Tarasenko, and both players seemingly want to have new addresses for the start of next season. What happens if either one or both, whatever, return to the same team? How are they welcomed both by the coaching staff, the manager, and probably most importantly, their teammates?
Yeah, well, you know what? This actually happened to me in junior. So it's a little bit of a different scale, obviously, than the NHL. But, you know, I requested a trade and wasn't traded. When I did request a trade, the GM decided to strip me of my letter and informed the team that I'd asked for a trade and stripped me of my letter, which was interesting. So there were some, you know, in that situation where everyone knows there were some conversations that had to be had. And, you know, I'm sure there were some guys that maybe were a little bit, you know, felt like you're being disloyal, but most people understood that you're trying to do what's best for you in your career. And I think for Eichel, it's the same thing. And for Tarasenko as well, knowing that the guys don't want to be there, but everyone understands that it's a business and they're trying to do what's best for them. So I'm sure you're going to have some players, maybe younger guys that haven't been around as much, that they take a little bit of an issue with it, in that they don't necessarily understand yet what the players are trying to do. And I know fans certainly take an issue of it, but there's also always the hope that, you know, they patch things up and things get, you know, repaired, and there's restoration of relationships, which in some of the situations, and probably not Tarasenko, I don't see it, but Eichel, I'm sure they're still hoping that that's going to be the case. So you know what, it adds a layer of complexity, I think, to the dressing room. But if the player in question, so Eichel or Tarasenko, they're having, you know, healthy conversations with their teammates about it. And I saw this happen to guys in the NHL as well, that I knew had asked for a trade, that everyone knew had asked for a trade. It's like, you know what, if they have good conversations about it, I think most people understand, and are accepting of that. Now, where the problem is if the play on the ice falls off too. So if they don't get traded, you know, they go into the season and then they're pouty pants in the dressing room, and they're pouty pants while you're playing, and they're costing your team wins or costing your team goals or just not putting forth their best effort, then all of a sudden we have an issue. But if they're still going out there and competing and doing their best, then I don't think most players take an issue with it.
Joined by Matt Cassian, taking a look at where the NHL. You know what? You look at that whole situation, and I just, you know, you feel bad for, you know, Jack Eichel hasn't won there in Buffalo. But what about the, you know, is it a young Chirla? What's the young defenseman's name there in Arizona? Chychrun. Young Chychrun there in Arizona. That team has, they're giving away anything they can to try to build assets. You know, no one's, you know, feeling bad for this guy. Like, you know, he signed a longer-term contract with that group. Now, I think that's the guy. If anyone should be upset, it's him in this whole situation, because he's going through some of his really good years, and they're going to be wasted there in Arizona. Like, you know, can they be a winning team in maybe two or three years? Maybe. But he's signed there for four more seasons, and when that comes out of there, he'll be 27. And I think he should be asking to go. Speaking of trades, I'd be asking to be a trade now.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. I mean, and the difference is at least with, I mean, Buffalo's been incompetent, but they've tried. Like, they've tried to become a winning team. Like, they haven't done it. But they've tried, at least. And so for Eichel, you're kind of like, well, at least they were trying. Like, they didn't have any success, and it's horrible. But, like, Arizona, it's like, they're not even trying. They just kind of blew everything up that's going to be, you know, that's one of the names that I struggle with. I can't even say it. So people, I'm sure, are going to be texting and telling me. I can't even. I'm not even going to.
Jacob Chychrun. That's one I can get right.
I'm just going to call him Jacob Chychrun.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I see it, the letters, and it's challenging for me. Words are hard, Strutty. Words are hard. But here's the thing is, even if you request it right now, they're probably not going to trade him. Like, why would they at this point? They're not, like him, they're not going to trade. You're kind of like the last guy there. So you can be as mad as you want. You can ask for a trade, but unless you do something drastic, like starting to sit out training camp and all those sort of things, like, you're going to get you suspended and you're not going to get paid. Like, I just don't see it happening. So I kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah, you look at it like there's four players that have longer term deals. So you got Schmaltz, Dvorak, and Keller. You know, there's some reports maybe they're trying to move Dvorak. But then you look on the back end, Jacob Chychrun's the only guy. They got Gostisbehere. He'll be traded, not this year, but next year is a trade deadline. Stralman will be traded at the deadline this year. I don't know about Lyubushkin, if he'll be traded. And then Connor Timmins, he's pretty young. He'll be around. But they're going to just pick up batch contracts and trade, and then, you know, trade those guys twice. Like all the guys out of Vancouver, some of those guys will get traded this year at the trade deadline. So they get, you know, they get traded, they bring them in, and they're going to trade them out for something as well. So that Chychrun, I just, you know, if I was his dad, I'd be like, oh my God, come on. Like, look around. That whole team, next year when you start the season, you could realistically have 10 new players on that team.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you might even have 10 new players by the end of this season, if we're going to be completely honest.
It's going to be such a massive turnover there, where you're just going to have, just massive turnover. And really, like, the reality is even from your draft status, it's like you're 4 to 5 years away, at least.
Yeah, at
least.
Yeah, and that's when you're going to be good. So it's going to be a long time. And this is I'm not kicking Bill Armstrong in the throat here. Like, he's coming in, the general manager. He's trying to clean it up. Like, he's trying to clean up what's happened. So he's tore it right down the ground. But there are still some players left there that I think they're getting screwed. And I look at Jake Chychrun, like, I honestly, I don't think he makes it past. I'd be surprised if next year the draft he's not traded, like a 20-30% chance, because he'll be like, I'm out of here. Why? What am I staying here for, right? There's nothing going on. And by the time that you're ready to go, I'll be UFA. I may as well leave now. And I think that's something that's going to be interesting to have. So, Matty, thanks a lot for this, buddy. Keep working on your pronunciations, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, Sturdy. Have a good one.